Damon, you got dinner going?
No, not yet.
In a good mood?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Uh-oh. Rough day at the office?
He sounded happier when we were in two than we were one and two.
I know. Because he knows that he's only being setting up, being set up for inevitable decline.
You might be right there, Rabbit. You might be right.
What's up, Hootat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a zero, but I am drinking a commotion. Have you heard of that?
What's a commotion?
It's a beer from somewhere in Louisiana. I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's commotion. I'll let you know when I go get the next one with the name on the on the can.
This guy doesn't even know what he's drinking.
It's a beer.
Okay.
Lemon and basil. It's a lemon basil beer. That's an IPA.
Yeah, you knew there had to be some kind of fruit in there.
It's an APA, American Pale Ale. Somebody knows what I'm drinking. They've had it before. Anyway, what's up? I said that. Finally.
Yep.
Wow. So I just fucking said that, you idiot.
I got confused. Finally, when the Saints defense clicks, it clicks. At first, you might have wanted three interceptions to be spread out over a few games, but when you've been waiting so long for any sign of life from this defense, you'll take as many as you can get in a single game, especially when it results in Cam Newton getting benched, and a confidence boost in a unit that desperately needed it. The Saints pulled off the win at just the right time to kick off the long road trip, just before the bandwagon lost its fourth wheel. And for a few players, and maybe even some coaches, the head coach, to get out of the doghouse for at least a week or two. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I will go with a two.
Damn!
Got home, prepped dinner, made a cocktail, figured I'd get on this. We got our first win of the season. I got to celebrate.
Woohoo! Same here.
So the drinks, this current one is about halfway...
finished?
Drunk, finished, whatever.
The glass. Like a game.
Are you saying the glass is half empty?
Today it's half full.
Yeah. All right, Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number? Or how you feeling?
I'm happy. We're going to the Super Bowl. Fuck it. It's over. Woo! Overreaction time. Time to enjoy the season for 4 days or 7 days. Woohoo! Super Bowl!
I agree.
Super Bowl! We're the best team in the league.
I feel like I'm walking out of the Superdome after a win.
Nah, I mean, sure is nice to win. It does make the week go by a little bit better.
It does.
You know, but yeah, I'm not. You know, look, I said last week. You know, we were disappointed last week, but I thought we could beat this team.
And we did.
Cam Newton is a mediocre quarterback.
Well, let's talk about it in the game recap.
Are you a Hootat? Are you a Hootat fan? If you're a Hootat, clap your hands for the Saints. Scream and shout, let me hear you singing, go Saints, go.
Cam Newton is a mediocre quarterback.
It helps that he's playing poorly this year.
Well, ever since they want him to be a pocket passer, and they're taking away what made him great. I mean, what made him such a good quarterback was his role. Well, the guy did win an MVP. Okay, maybe I embellished with great. What made him a good quarterback is that he could run, and that was a big part of his repertoire. Now that they want him to go back into the pocket, and he's coming off a shoulder surgery, he's not a good passer.
He never has been a good passer.
Do you know why he's not a good passer?
Is everything, but if I had to choose...
They were showing before the game, in the little the show, they were talking about how his passes are, he's overthrowing receivers, he's throwing a lot of bad passes this year, and they're trying to say like the different reasons for it. But if you really look at it, it's he doesn't set his feet when he throws. He throws on the run. Drew Brees sets back, sets his feet, puts the pass where it's supposed to be. Cam Newton's he's reminded me almost like an Aaron Brooks, where he's just kind of street ball is what he seems like he's playing. He's trying, he can't run, but he's still doing the running actions and maneuvers even though he's in the pocket. So you can't throw accurately that way. I love it. I'm glad he's doing it.
And it helps that he was without Olsen. And then early in the game, Kelvin Benjamin got hurt.
Yeah.
Big to not have those two tall receivers who can make up for his poor throws by going up and get the ball. Because, I mean, Greg Olsen has really killed the Saints the last couple of years.
That's
so to not have him in, to not have Benjamin in, he doesn't have those guys that can...
That good players and that he's comfortable with.
Good players, comfortable with, and they can also go up and catch the badly thrown balls.
And they don't have Ted Ginn Jr. this year.
Yeah!
Don't have that speed guy.
See, Jeff, that's why we signed Ted Ginn. Just
to take him away from Carolina. All right, so the defense gets three sacks. I mean,
four sacks.
Oh, sorry, I was looking at interceptions column. So they got four sacks, three interceptions, and they forced two fumbles. I don't think they recovered them, right?
No, freaking the one Cam popped right up and right back. Like, come on. But look, the first sack by Jordan, to me, was one of the biggest plays in the entire game, because that first drive, Carolina's just marching down the field with their wacky rushing attack, and you're thinking, here we go again, it's going to be shitty, and then Jordan gets that sack and held them to a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
A huge, huge momentum shifter, and then, of course, the Saints get the ball, move down the field, score a touchdown, and we take our first lead of the year.
The best drive of the season. I mean, that's vintage Drew Brees, Sean Payton offense.
And them finding a way to take, to get Michael Thomas involved. And, they saw it. They did it a couple times where Thomas was out, and they kicked Kamara out to the outside, so the cornerback shifted, so he was on the linebacker instead. And I'll take Michael Thomas on the linebacker, even though Davis is a really good linebacker. I mean, dude, you're not covering Michael Thomas.
Boom.
So, yeah, it was a great.
You know what I would say, Davis? You can't guard Mike. And all those who know Mike Thomas's Twitter handle, you know what I'm talking about.
So yeah, so to me that was a great sign to hold him to the field goal there, and the team played a complete game. It was really great to see. And look, Carolina, I know they didn't play world beaters the first 2 weeks, but they had only given up 6 total points this whole season. So to come in and not only throw the ball efficiently, but to be able to run the ball like the Saints did.
149 yards.
Against a really good defensive front with the shuffled offensive line again. That was the startling.
Yeah.
Because I just thought there was no chance we're going to run on them. We're just going to have to throw for 350 yards and do that. I can't believe we were able to run like we did.
So how much of this game's result is the players starting to gel a little bit more, or is it preparation? They're starting to maybe be a little more serious with their game prep, or are they?
I don't think it's serious with the prep, but I think you saw it around the league because of the reduced practice time and no starters play in the preseason. First 2 weeks of the NFL season, there was a lot of shitty games.
Two teams. Who were the Bengals and the Browns? What two teams hadn't even scored a touchdown going into week 3?
The Bengals hadn't, for sure.
Right. and they fired their OC, then they went down their first drive. This,
this is why I didn't Drew Brees.
That doesn't look good for him.
Last week he wasn't, because this is where exactly where we know we would be.
But I think San Francisco was the other team.
That was the other one. That was the other one.
The other one. And, man, dude, that Thursday night game was nuts. Thursday night games are known to be shitty, and you have two mediocre to shitty teams. To see that scoring output was just, poof, what the fuck?
Oh, I didn't watch it. What happened then? I didn't watch it.
It was like 41-39, I think. Or it was an incredibly high. It was maybe the best Thursday night game that's ever happened.
If you like touchdowns.
If you like fun football.
If you like points being scored.
Well, no, I mean, some people enjoy a nice defensive struggle.
But you saw it across the league, you know, a lot better games overall this past weekend.
Well,
so
yeah. I think these days, it takes a couple of weeks. Kinda, week three is when you start to settle into who you might actually be, a little bit more of an identity.
And you get in real game shape.
Yeah.
Because nobody plays in the preseason.
Well, but then again, I mean, in the game, the second game, we're playing against the Patriots, so you kind of
you were going to lose that game to begin with.
Well, you know, we wouldn't have said that a couple of years ago.
No, well, this isn't a couple of years ago. That's the catch.
No, I mean, but you are right. The first two teams we played were good,
especially after seeing what Minnesota did to Tampa yesterday.
Yeah, they were good, and we played them on the road, and so yeah, so and I thought. You know, we said it last week. We will get better. You know, I mean, Sean Payton's team, they have always gotten better as the season goes on. That's why the team that start with such a, you know, when we start 3-1 or 4-0 or whatever, that's when our record, are, you know, we have double-digit wins because right. we do get better as the year goes by. So
this is a grinded-out year.
Right. I felt good. Same thing I said last week. Man, if we can, you know, get to 2-2.
Yeah, it's possible.
I feel good.
So, but going back to my question, I mean, how is it? Is it? Did we just match up better against the Panthers, and that's what's helping? And because I worry that is it a false sense of hope? Because you played against a bad, injury ridden. You match up well against. That's not every week. You're not going to get that gift every week. So,
no, but it's definitely both. We played well, and they're not a very good team.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
We still had to go out and make the plays, make the picks. I mean, that PJ Williams pick, he just jumped the route, got it. The
Vaccaro pick
by Williams. Vaccaro's pick, and then the pick by Williams with the Vaccaro had the tip on it. I mean, that was an incredible catch.
That was a one-handed,
That was insane. But, you know, you still have to go out and make the plays.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And look, a win going forward, a win is a confidence builder.
Well, that's to me, that's the biggest benefit of not only this win, but the way we won.
Yeah. Especially when you got a long flight to London. Much rather, you know, it's going to be a lot better plane ride for those guys after a win than if you're tearing it over.
You saw Mark Ingram's little video on the plane? He posted on Instagram or something. That plane was a little party plane now. Yeah, they were dancing, having a good time.
They were having tea and crumpets?
Not quite. So, Ted Ginn with the touchdown catch. You mentioned him. You know how I feel about Ted Ginn. That's the... that's the unexpected result. So I'm glad he surprises us every now and then with a catch.
No, but look, like I said last week, I said, you know, this offense need big plays. You know, that's what Sean Payton's offense have thrived on for 12 years. And that's what we got. A 40-yard touchdown is a big play.
Yeah. And really, he could have had another one if Breeze hits him. You know, Breeze overthrew him on another one that he was open.
Yeah. Mm.
So did Hendrickson, did he get hurt and come back in? I thought he was hurt earlier in the game, but then later on he came in and made a...
No, somebody else. A guy we just called up from the practice squad at defensive tackle. He got hurt early in the game.
Oh, okay.
But Hendrickson was...
Maybe it was Hendrickson or something as he got hurt.
He didn't play last week, but look, it's also good to see, you know, Jordan got his sack, but then Okafor got a sack. Your boy Kaka got another sack.
Yeah.
And then Hendrickson. So two of the younger guys getting sacks. And you kind of heard some fan complaints about Kaha after last week. You know, only got, what, like maybe 9 snaps, but one of them was a sack.
And then here you're thinking, again.
Why is this guy? But you've also got to remember he's had 3 knee surgeries. I mean, you kind of have to
reserve him.
Right, you can't play him. Unfortunately, you can't play him 40 snaps a game because his knee might just explode. But you have to like what you saw, and then Hendrickson getting the sack too. You have to like these young guys stepping up and making plays.
He got the sack.
The ball did come out. He didn't get up with the ball.
Well, right, I guess. So,
guys stepped up. They played a complete game. Another guy who balled out was Crawley. I thought Crawley had a great game.
Yeah, everybody's talking about that.
You know, because especially after it came out that, well, Lattimore's out, Moore's out, and we're just thinking, I mean, who the fuck's going to play cornerback? We need to call T. Mike McKenzie. Stick him out there again.
Darren Sproles doing anything? I mean, Darren Sproles. Shit.
Darren Sharper?
Yeah.
That's... Please don't say Sharper. He's in prison and he's a safety.
Well, then he's available. Come in and play.
One of those work release program type things.
Right.
Let him out of the weekend and send him back.
So, like, it was an all-out great performance. It was a fun... I mean, it was a really fun game to watch, because especially when they got up multiple scores, you just... I mean, even though it's the Saints, and I know Carolina had that one drive in the third quarter where, what, 4 or 5 plays, you know, after, I think, Hendrickson had gotten the sack and we had pinned him back inside the 5...
Yeah,
they started playing prevent, and they just threw it right down the field and scored.
They drove down pretty quick, like you said, 4 or 5 plays, very eating up chunks of yards.
But I still felt good about them holding on to the win. And
I think that just made it an 11-point game. I mean, it was still a 2-score game. It wasn't.
But then I think I want to say we had our first 3-and-out. No, I think we had our first 3-and-out.
Maybe, but then we went and scored a field goal.
Right, like we got the did we get the pick right after that, maybe, or just I don't know. Either way. When Lutz drilled the long one, like a 50-something yarder.
Right, but he missed one. He missed.
Well,
a 57.
He did. Yeah, he missed
a 57. You can't, you know, you can't be mad about missing a 57-yard field goal. Those are
right. I mean, that one before that, the 52. I mean, he drilled like it looked like it would have gone in from 65. Like, when it hit the net, I was like, holy shit, that hit the net maybe like 10 yards up. It's like, wow.
No, he's a nice, he's a nice find. He's mm-hmm. satisfied our kicking, you know, our kicking game
right.
is at least adequate.
But again, just a great, complete game. I mean, Breece threw 3 touchdowns, but he only had 200
Sure. Well, it was nice to see with the lead in the second half, we ran the ball. With the lead, not only did we stick to the run as a play caller, but we were efficient at it.
Well, that's the thing. The fact that we were able to get the yards that we needed, considering the offensive line issues and the way they had played last 2 weeks, and Carolina's defense is pretty good. Like I said earlier, it was really the I didn't expect that at all. Mm-hmm. I thought we would struggle to run the ball.
Look, I mean, AP runs hard. That man still runs hard.
You know what I like? I like the fact that we had a little angry Ingram. You know, he ran really well.
He did. I mean, I don't know why you say angry. I didn't feel he was angry, but he might have been.
He was fired up. We like angry Ingram. He's angry because Peterson's taking his touches.
Those touches always went to somebody, be it Hightower.
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, maybe they're settling into a better rotation of the backs.
Their roles, yeah. Well, okay. But it starts on the line. You have to open a hole.
Yeah, you're right.
You have to open a hole. I don't care what running back you can put, you know. If the offensive line aren't open holes, they can't do anything.
And maybe that kind of, you know, bodes well if they can get to 2-2 and then have the bye. Maybe Strieve comes back after that. But is it even possible that maybe Armstead could be ready? Because I thought they would put him on IR designated to return after 8 weeks, and they didn't. So I wonder if he could come back a little sooner.
Right, so that'd be going into week six, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will.
And I'm back.
And we did mission.
And what?
No one cares.
He said three.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are y'all done with game
report? And then I guess the last thing we didn't talk about, that nice nifty run from Kamara at the end of the game.
Beautiful.
Something special about this kid. I'm going to tell you what. That's a find. He's the future.
Well, sure. Yeah.
But, I mean, like, it's nice to know that you've hit on it this early.
Well, thank God they hit on him, because then they traded up to get him.
Hey, it's rare for this team. Although, you know, we were talking last week about the whole, what was it, when what's his name got released or traded in the, we were saying that the last player from the, or there's only like one player from a run of three or four drafts.
Yeah, they're left on the team.
Still the remnants of what's his face?
Well, the previous 14 was, but 15, I think Ireland was involved in that. Now maybe he came on a little later. But Ireland was here for 15.
Never mind.
But look, you like what you see from this year's draft. I mean, look, Henderson had a sack. Williams had the interception.
Lattimore is.
Right, Lattimore is legit.
Man.
Kamara.
Yeah. Between Lattimore and Kamara.
You know, Anzalone starting.
Yeah.
This, you know, that's a lot of.
Well, it's not hard to become a starter on this defense.
The bar ain't.
All right. But all those guys. Now,
yeah, we need to put a little
effort. Tell that to Stephon Anthony.
Right. We need to put a little effort into it. We could perhaps have become a starter on this defense.
But, right. Now, the Kamara pick, now that shows evaluation skills. Speaking of, we do have a piece of fake news to talk about.
You have violated my wife.
I did not.
You soiled the sanctity of my home.
You know what you are, Stern? You know what you are? You're the Antichrist.
What?
Yes, that's what you are. You are the motherfucking Antichrist.
And this one comes from the Post. Damon, you pointed out this article in our text messages. I'm assuming it was like the, what was it, NFLMocks.com or something. I don't know if you remember the source, but it was a story about the conspiracy theory that Sean Payton and Ryan Pace seek to reunite in Chicago.
Ryan Pace may not have a job in a couple of years.
Well, or it's all part of the grand design that he goes there. He's constructed the offense over there to pretty much look just like the Saints offense that worked. Mine sans the quarterback, right? And that Sean Payton's got to come in and turn, is it Trubisky, into the elite quarterback that they believe he could be. Because Sean Payton is the quarterback whisperer. Although he hasn't been able to do it to any of Drew Brees' backups.
Right.
But, I mean, the way the article was written, it makes a lot of sense. And I'll tell you what, if he's not going to be here, it makes sense that that's, if you're betting, that you would bet on him being in Chicago next
year.
Sure.
Like, well, yeah, I mean, just like you pointed out, they built the team around the same, you know, way that we had success in early on in Peyton's tenure here. Peyton's an Illinois boy, you know. He went to Eastern Illinois, and I think he grew up there. So, I mean, yeah, it'd be an interesting landing spot for him. But
what happens if we actually go to the playoffs this year?
Yeah, then we'll all forget about it, and he'll, you know, he's under contract. We'll just be happy.
Right. But if he does go somewhere else, then obviously Ryan Pace is kind of building a safety net for Peyton over there. Or at least Ryan Pace has a model that it worked for him in the past that he's going to stick to, no matter who his coach is.
Right. But if we lose the next 13 games, yeah, he can have him. I'll help him pack.
Yeah. I guess Jason doesn't have any thoughts or opinions on that one. He hasn't typed up, unless he's going to grab a beer. Yep.
I'm sure he's going.
He went to grab a beer.
going to pee or something.
Because he never really got active in that conversation anyway. I think he's still on that I don't ever want to lose Sean Payton mentality.
Yeah, well...
I think winning a Super Bowl wins him some... No doubt.
Winning a Super Bowl gives you a lot of leeway, you know? Gives you lots of leeway.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think... When I read it before we won the game yesterday, all I was thinking was, you know what, if he does end up leaving, and it felt pretty inevitable last week, I almost would like to see it happen to where he goes there, reconnects with Pace, see if that was the deal. Like, you know, because to me it almost would say, like, we should have let Loomis go and let Pace become the GM
right
when that happened, and we'd be sitting pretty right now. I mean, was... And then so you almost want to see it work.
But hold on. Pace was kind of involved in all of our shitty drafts, right?
Yes.
So...
But he wasn't in charge. I mean, there's a lot of things.
But it was a scouting evaluation. Peyton relied on his scouting department to scout the players and tell them who he thought was good. And it failed miserably.
Well, maybe Pace is a terrible scout, but he's a good GM. I don't know. Or it's all going to blow up in all their faces, and that'll be fun, too.
I mean, I don't
see the Bears succeed.
I don't put any truth to it, but what do I know?
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that there's this big conspiracy that Ryan Pace and Sean Payton created 5 years ago and put this plan together. What I'm saying is, if this season goes in the direction it was going the first 2 weeks and Sean Payton ends up leaving New Orleans, that's the bet, is that he goes to Chicago.
I don't know.
All right. You'd rather keep him here?
Oh, I didn't say that. I mean, I don't know. We got to see how this season plays out.
All right, let's talk about look at him tweets. And this week in tweets, I did actually ask the question, on a scale from 1 to 10, how much did this win kind of re-instill some confidence, you know?
75 billion.
Your elite believability, right. The tweets that we got, the average among all the tweets that we got in response is a 6.5.
They still got wood.
A 6.5 in your, you know, on a scale from 1 to 10. I think that's
not my drug scale.
Right. I'd like it to be. It's, I mean, not the highest was coming by, Chris McGuire gave an 8.
Okay.
And the lowest was a 5 by Life of Ty and NRG through 14. So I'm going to ask the two of you, on a scale from 1 to 10, what did this win do for you as far as boosting your confidence level, believability, faith that this is, like, are we fixed?
Well, I don't know that we're fixed. I mean, I think 6.5 is probably a good number. They're not fixed, and like we mentioned before, we did play well. Carolina may not really be that good either, but it's signs of some kind of progress.
You have to beat the team that you're better than.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's that simple.
Okay.
And it helps, you know, obviously that was probably the most important game of the season, because if you go 0-3, I mean, the season's pretty much dead. But the fact that you can go 1-2, and if you get the win this week against Miami, you're sitting there at 2-2 at the bye, and you know anybody would have said that's pretty good.
That was the expectation. It gives you
a chance to then go forward and make a little run and possibly.
Well, it helps that obviously we beat Carolina and Tampa lost. And I'm so pissed off. I don't know, pissed off to
Atlanta. Win, Atlanta should be fucking 1-2 right now.
Atlanta should be 1-2. Now, what I'm hoping is that this will eventually catch up with them. Because it was two bad teams.
Well, you know, the Lions aren't bad.
The Lions. I don't know any. I don't know if the Lions are good or bad. I don't know. I have no clue. I have no opinion.
Kind of like the Saints for you?
I mean, I just don't follow them enough. I mean, you know, I think they're, you know, they play good and then they kind of shoot themselves in the foot.
So
I think they're, I mean, I think they are better. They're not a bad team. Now, the Bears, I think, were a bad team. But then, dude, they go out and beat Pittsburgh this week.
And they beat Pittsburgh with some pretty fluky plays, though. You know,
I'm sorry. Is this NFL reach around, or is this looking in tweets? So yeah. let me read a tweet real quick. This one coming in from Davis Douglas saying the most improved player or group of this past game, actually asking us, who do you feel is the most improved?
Oh, I would say 100% the offensive line.
Oh, okay.
I think,
not the defensive line.
Drew only got sacked once, and against this defense, that's good.
Yeah.
So I would put it on the offensive line.
Damon, agree?
Well, he's right, but I'll just go defensive line. Because, again, we got the pressure on Cam Newton and got the sacks.
Which also yielded in the interceptions.
Right, it helped the interceptions, you know. Tom Brady had all day.
Yeah,
the last guy you want to have all day. And then his second question was, what is still your biggest concern going forward? The offensive line and the defensive line. I will agree. The defense, both of those are still my biggest concern. They did step up, but is it a one-game step up, or is this now the new reality?
I guess injuries. If we can get healthy, and see, what, you know, maybe 10 starters, you know, that would be wow, what a magical thing that would be.
I mean, that is what I was going to say. The health of the offensive line.
Oh,
and the
stop
health...
stealing my goddamn thunder, Jason. I'm tired of that shit.
But I'm going both ways. I said the health of the offensive line.
I know you
line...
go both ways, and that's why we've always had a problem.
I can't believe you walked into that one.
Whatever. That's... We won. I don't give a shit.
We won. He's going both ways.
Right. The health of the offensive line and the health of the cornerbacks. I mean, Lattimore, obviously, we're going to need, but man, like, you know, we can get Bro back, help out back there.
But Bro did not look good when he came back last year.
Because he was hurt. Because we had the same shit doctors. They thought, oh, it's just a bruise. It's just a flesh wound. It's just a bruise. You know?
Topical, because this week we're going to London.
Right. I need to start talking with an accent. Number one, the health of the offensive line is the number one.
So you see, Damon, what he did is he stole your thunder and then one-upped you by saying not just general health, but the health of a certain position.
Right. I specified it.
Right. All right. So the next one comes in from Scott Greenbaum saying, great win by the Saints. I find it fitting that this Jekyll and Hyde team is now heading to London. That's a good joke. I thought I'd share. Also,
hopefully they continue to be Jekyll for another week. Do we want Hyde? I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder. The Hyde is the monster that kicks ass, right?
Hyde is angry Ingram.
That's true. All right, next one comes in from Big Easy Guy John saying, "I don't know what Dennis Allen did, but keep stoking that fire under these boys' asses." I mean. Is it something Dennis Allen did, or did it? And I get the reason I read that. Did something change, or again, it goes back to the original question I was asking. I mean, is it game prep? Is it matchups? Is it the fact that Olsen and Benjamin ended up getting hurt?
It's also their backs against the wall. I mean, they can't go 0-3.
Kenny Vaccaro felt the threat of being traded, so he saw everybody else playing up. He had to step up too. I mean, he wasn't playing too great all game until he got that pick, right?
No, remember that play with McCaffrey where, now he did touch him, and when it happened, I was like, no, he touched him.
Yeah,
he clearly touched him.
It was a little nonchalant, and then he...
He touches him with two hands, they get called for unnecessary roughness.
Right. Okay. Right. But then there was later on in that drive, he missed a tackle, and it didn't seem like he was in it. I was getting a little frustrated with him, but...
Yeah.
Look, the guy came back and made the interception
and totally redeems himself.
He made the interception and he had the tip on the Williams pick. So, yeah, he did. Props to him.
Stepped up.
You know, it's sad. Like, I got so mad at him, but, like, other than Breeze, that's the one jersey that I have now. So if we trade him, like, it's another jersey that bites the dust. I should have just bought fucking Cam Jordan.
Wait, I didn't know you bought that jersey. Yeah, again, stop buying jerseys.
Believe me, I'm not buying any more after this.
All right. Next tweet comes in. Let me see. This one's from Jim Bull Rants. After the way the Dolphins looked, I'm looking at 2-2, and Atlanta should have lost. Packers should have lost. Thinking, ride Snead to the Super Bowl, and that D. So, obviously, Jimbo Rance is walking out of the Superdome yelling, Super Bowl!
He's like, suck my dick, motherfuckers!
Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, think about it, though. Snead returns after the bye, right? Or is it one game after?
No, he's
back this week. He's back this week. Yeah,
back this
Oh, he was in Carolina.
Right.
So.
And I saw, it's interesting.
You going to talk about Coon?
No, no. Well, maybe we can talk about that in game preview. But
Coon and Saints, Coon and friends alert.
The Saints flew to London, you know, yesterday. Miami's not going for another couple of days.
That's
right, now, Miami has, they've had a weird travel schedule because of the hurricane. They had to travel, and they were in San Diego for over a week. Yeah, then they you know, went to New York. But, I mean, dude, it's still fucking, like, it's Jay Cutler. Like, they lost to the goddamn Jets. They lost to the goddamn Jets.
Well, actually, it's funny you say that because the next tweet comes from Life of Ty saying, helps that the Fins lost to the goddamn Jets, though. We can definitely beat them, even though he didn't have a pick. Ken Crawley looked great, so a little twofer right there.
Yeah, we mentioned it earlier. And look, I don't want to be overconfident. You know, watching the Dolphins lay that stink bomb, now we're kind of like, oh, yeah, we got this.
Well,
but. But look, Aldern, when we did our picks, I always thought we would lose to the Dolphins. Now, I might be changing that.
Yeah, I don't know why you felt that way.
I just figured they've got a lot of receivers, our secondary. I mean, yeah. I'm not with Jay Cutler, but they have good receivers.
I don't care. I could be
and,
on the
and they have a
Jerry
good running,
Rice,
they have a good running back.
And fucking, you know.
But they have good receivers and a good running back.
Look, this is a quarterback-driven league, and they have Jay Cutler.
Yeah, Bivin and I's Peavine team is, we rode fucking Jay Cutler for 2 weeks. I don't know what we were thinking.
Wow.
What are y'all, no wonder you love Miami.
But this guy's fucking stupid.
I am, but we also, we lost David Johnson and Greg Olson. So we're like, fuck it. Let's just go with Spooky.
Yeah, that'll do it. All right.
Oh, you're done.
All right, yeah. Let's move into NFL Reach Around.
Before, dude, this was the weird, in my opinion, the weirdest week. I mean, you had Buffalo beating Denver, Jacksonville, go fucking Baltimore.
I could not believe
it. What the 44 to 7? Are you nuts?
Although, I like that for pick'ems.
Although, to be fair.
I don't know how you picked it. You're just stupid. That was
you know what?
It's still a stupid pick.
Dude, Jacksonville.
It's still a stupid pick.
No. Let me tell you why. Jacksonville was home. And it was the ultimate home game. They were coming in there. That's where they're most comfortable.
Right. They played in London for the past, 3 years?
Really?
That's something I should have factored in
that
I did.
So they're so they have – I'll give that they – from this point on – or into the, you know, right, they'll have an advantage whoever they play in London.
Yeah, dude, they've won their last 3 or 4 games in London.
They're the most used – that organization, this is – that's – there's nothing special – I mean, I'm going to say it like that, but like –
No,
it's like if you've been to the Super Bowl 3 and 4 times, you're adapted to it. They have a system, and their owner's mustache helps them.
But right, it's like that happened, and like Chicago beat Pittsburgh.
Right, Chicago beat Pittsburgh. God, what many other what would you call upsets? Not really. Houston.
Well, look at last night's game.
Houston took New England down to the wire.
Right.
Yeah.
Houston took New England down to the wire. Yeah, Washington destroyed Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, it was a shutout until, the fourth quarter or something like that?
Right, that happened, and the Vikings, I mean, I guess they're good, but man, they beat the fuck out of Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Tennessee beat, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Tennessee over Seattle, which, I mean, again, we called it. I mean, but this is the other thing. This is that time, maybe this is one of those years where what you've grown to know over the last 4 or 5 years
Right.
Things happen. I mean, things change. It's Seattle's right. Not. That's what even the announcers, they were like, well, Seattle, their defense is known as the Legion of Boom. And when your defense has a name, you've got to be better than this. No, the Legion of Boom was like 4 years ago. This is not the Legion of Boom. It's a different assembly of guys. The only thing, there's a relic left from the Legion of Boom. But that's
the Legion of Whom.
Oh, I like that. So, yeah, I mean the fact that you can't base. I'm surprised that Tennessee beats yet. No, you shouldn't be, because things change. That's like saying I'm surprised that the Saints are not undefeated and wearing three Super Bowl championship rings.
But still, Buffalo is leading the AFC East.
Okay, that's fucked up.
Okay. Things change, Mark.
You know, Tennessee is leading, you know, the AFC South.
But I thought I picked Tennessee to
win it all. Let me go to the playoffs.
Right, but that's the whole point. Like, Tennessee, they made a lot of changes this offseason, so it's working.
Not really. They didn't.
Over the last 2 years, then?
Well, they drafted Mariota, and they built the team around Mariota.
Right. Okay. So it's starting to – the dividends are starting to pay off.
Right. They did the rebuild.
Yeah.
Cleveland
is 0-3. Never mind. Sorry.
But the NFC West, like you're saying, you know, I mean, things change. 4 years, it's a long time in the NFL nowadays. I mean,
yeah.
4 years ago, Seattle and San Francisco were fighting for the NFC championship games. And now San Fran is 0-3. Seattle's 1-2.
Right. The Rams are in first place.
The Rams, who couldn't get out of their own way last year.
Yeah, and even, I mean, the Cardinals don't look good either. I mean, it looks like a shit division.
Yeah, I mean, I believe they will lose to Dallas tonight.
Is Dallas really that good, though?
I don't know.
I think
they had
Carson
a good year
Palmer's,
last year.
I think Carson Palmer's done, though, I mean, with Arizona. And then losing David Johnson killed and my fantasy team.
Yeah. A lot of people's fantasy teams.
God, number one overall pick this. Fantasy football, man.
No, I get this NFL reach around, and you and I can start it while Jeff is out playing with himself. Darren Sproles broke his arm
and tore his ACL
on the same play. Holy mackerel! Saw that. I said, did he get in a car accident? I mean, did this happen on a football field?
He was in like some kind of crazy threesome and things went haywire.
So they said, you know, his season's over.
His season's over and at 34 years old.
And it might be his career, right?
Yeah. I mean, at this old, coming back from ACL injury, as special as he is, I mean.
Right. You know. That'll be a shame. And just a little shout out to him. He meant a lot to this team and a lot to this offense.
Who?
Sproles.
Oh.
Sproley.
Yeah.
Sproley. Remember when we called them Sproley back?
Sproley Trolls, that's right.
Uh-huh.
Little squirrel.
Uh-huh.
All right. So the next piece is, I'm going to give a little bit. This is under the NFL reach around topic, and we try not to be a political show, and I'm going to bring this topic up, not because of politics, but because you can't.
Look, it's the biggest story in the country.
And we are a sports show, and this is related to sports, and it's affecting.
Stick to sports, Jeff.
Right. So, obviously, I'm talking about the national anthem protests from various teams. We know the Pittsburgh Steelers, all but one guy who was actually a veteran, a military vet, stayed in the locker room. We know that several Saints players, sat on the benches. It started with kneeling, which, you know, one could argue kneeling is still a sign of respect, but it's not standing. And then now it's sitting on the bench during the national anthem, and now people are arguing that that's very disrespectful. And there's strong feelings on both sides. Should or shouldn't be able to do this.
There are Saints fans that said, no, I'm giving up my tickets, and they're burning jerseys. And they were like, I saw a picture. There were three people out there protesting at the Saints facility today.
Hold an American flag.
So I have a bit of a...
I'll put your picture.
A bit of an editorial that I wrote.
Okay.
A monologue, if you will.
Okay.
Common.
You want to say that, or do you want us to give our?
I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to let you guys say what you want to say. If you have something you want to say about it, go ahead and talk about it, and then I'm going to conclude it. I don't want to turn this into a debate or a.
Okay. Oh, don't worry. I don't want to debate on any of this shit. All I'll say is, look, that's what makes America the country it is. People have the right to do whatever they want. I don't have an issue with it. At the next Saints home game, when the anthem comes on, I mean, I'll stand. That's just the way I am. But if somebody wants to sit, you know, that's fine. To me, this is more about, and it's interesting, you know, last week there were it was less than 10 guys who were kneeling or doing whatever for the anthem. And now this week it was 200, all because of one asshole. So, look, people have the right to do what they want to do. I'm not angry. I'm not going to give up my tickets. I'm not going to do whatever. America, you know, that's what America is. You have the right to do what you want.
Are you going to take the pledge, Jason, to put down the phone if you become president?
Yes, if I become president, I will open a beer and then put down the phone.
It's a South Park reference. All right, Damon, you have anything you want to say about it before I go into my long...
I don't know if you listen to... Well, let me start with this. First of all, who the fuck knows what these idiots are protesting? And Jason just said it himself. Last week it was 10, this week it was 200. So the protest started out as something. And I don't even know what it is.
You know what it is.
Well, no, I don't. Because why would you sit down for the flag? But anyway, and I understand what you're saying. You have, you know, yeah, Peel, I have the right to do this. You know, that's so childish. That's an 18-year-old. Well, I'm 18 now, and I can do this. Well, that's so childish. You know, if you want to do something, it's like all these fucking idiots on Facebook, and, you know, there's a terror attack in London or somewhere, and they put the French flag. Ooh, thoughts and prayers. Fuck you. Get up and do something. You are not creating you're creating havoc and chaos. You are not helping the situation. You are not creating a conversation. Your conversation is, fuck you. And the response is, no, fuck you. You're not doing anything to help. Okay? You want to go out there and help. Go out there and help. Go into the city. Go do something. Make up an appearance. I don't know, but sitting down, it's not a... Again, no one's talking about what you're protesting. That you're talking about you sitting down and it is disrespectful to the flag. My personal opinion, if you have a statement to make or whatever, fine. Say it. But I disagree with the way you're protesting. I don't even give a fuck, really. I don't give a fuck if some retard who's going to be broke in 3 years sits down or stands up. I mean, these people don't have the fucking intelligence of a... These are idiots. Why are we listening to athletes? These are dummies. Dummies.
Because they run fast and they can jump high.
Right. So who's sitting down? No, you're being an asshole. You're being an asshole. And you want to show what an ass you can be. And that's fine. Sit down. You know, is it hurting the league? I don't. You know, is that the reason the attendance is down and viewership is down? How the hell do I look? No, you
Saturday
know,
night football versus last week was down 17%.
Well, but okay. now this week, but you're going to have Dallas tonight, so I'm sure the ratings.
Well, it will be
Sunday night. Sunday night versus Sunday night. Negative
17%. Yeah, but I don't think...
I don't know, Jason, it's a stat. You can agree with it or not, but it's a stat. 17% didn't watch it.
I'm not telling you why, but I'm just telling you, 17%.
Right. So, you know, again, stand, kneel, I don't care what you do. Don't come out, you know. Go fuck yourself. Again, you know, tell me what you're protesting and let's have a conversation. Then we can have a conversation. Being disrespectful, again, you're not accomplishing anything. Right. You're just causing controversy.
Right.
I don't see any of these things that you're protesting getting any better.
Okay.
So you're not helping the situation. Right. Okay. But let me say this. Drew Brees in
oh, come on.
I've been critical of Drew Brees.
Everybody gets their piece.
But Drew Brees had a great statement on this whole
last year?
This year, this weekend, after the Carolina game. He had a great statement. So go find it. You can find it online. I don't know. Well, he was just saying, you know, he was agreeing, and I'm not saying I agree with this part, that he was agreeing there was an inequity in this country. But he said to protest the flag. because it stands for America and all we've been through up to this point. And, you know, our values and our good. He goes, that is not right, and that he did not support that. He said the flag should be a unifying symbol, not a divisive symbol.
Yeah.
You know, so Drew Brees, go listen to Drew.
Very good point. Very good point.
And it's behind not Drew Brees off the field. That's crazy.
Well, I was in shock at anybody.
The flag has unified Drew Brees and Damon.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
All right. Yeah, that's what I thought. When he started saying it, I went, oh, shit, what is this retard going to say? And man, he is a very intelligent man.
And now my turn. When he agrees with Damon, he's intelligent. When
See, he disagrees like,
with Damon,
like,
he's an idiot.
Like that clip right there, when Damon says Drew Brees is an intelligent man, we need to save that clip and so for every time in the future that Damon badmouths him, we can just put that in.
I know. All right. And then my part, and I wrote this, so sorry if it feels red. But I wanted to make sure that I...
It should be blue and white, Jeff.
Come on. Nice. All right. To me, the national anthem program...
He's reading it and he's still stuttering.
I know, right? Well,
he's got to make it dramatic.
You got to get into it.
Okay.
Feel red. All right, so it's almost one of those Jim Henderson editorials on WWL Channel 4, Monday night after the game. Remember, he used to do those commentaries. Does he still do that?
Yeah, but now he's on Fox.
Okay. All right. The national anthem protests have now become all about whether you have the right to protest like this than whatever the original issue was. Damon, you were just making that point. It's not generating the productive effect that Colin Kaepernick thought it was going to. And so it's now completely undermining the original purpose of the protest. So just like in football, my recommendation to the players is just like in football, when your game plan is not working, what do? You consider making some halftime adjustments, right? So they should recognize that the kneeling and sitting and protesting during the national anthem is now representing defiance, and it's only sparking a First Amendment debate. And the only result that this is going to have or will achieve is for each side to dig deeper and deeper into a political position, and it's going to create a wider divide between the left and the right. This is never going to lead to compromise. And so, if your real goal is to bring attention to the need to have a productive national conversation about race in this country, where all sides are given a chance to speak and all sides are listened to and heard, and all sides are going to come willing to work together, then it's in the movement's best interest to adjust your strategy and find a way to bring positive attention to your cause. It's always tempting to do something so drastic that it disrupts and makes people uncomfortable. But maybe, just maybe, if the cause you're fighting for is one where you actually want people to become more comfortable with each other, you should try choosing a demonstrative act that is both attention-grabbing and positive at the same time. And things that come to mind are the Pulitzer-nominated photo of the protester sticking a flower in the gun barrel, the barrel of the gun at the protest in Boston during Vietnam. You remember that photo? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I've seen it. Of course, we don't remember. We weren't born in the 60s.
Well, but you've seen it, and you know what I'm talking about.
No. Yeah.
We've seen that. We've heard about that.
All right. Yeah. There's nothing controversial about it, but the message and the imagery was so strong that it got the right attention. You all know about Gandhi and the hunger strike to protest the British monopoly on salt. I had to Google and Wikipedia that one.
Of course you did.
I mean, I knew Gandhi protested. I didn't buy
it. You didn't know why. You didn't know why.
I didn't know why, right?
It's like Gandhi. He's some Indian guy who protested something, right?
Right. I mean, it's something about peace, right?
Right?
But so my point is, like, just, like, it doesn't have to be the controversy. Like, you want to do something that's going to bring attention to your deal. I mean, look at it this way. All right, how many, like, Colin Kaepernick's hair right now? He's got the big, giant 1970s afro. That alone is iconic enough to bring attention to the cause. I mean, I would think if you started seeing every football player who knelt this weekend to instead grow their hair out for the cause, it would create a more positive image than the new and you know, news stations photographers would publish those photos all the time, and it would be cemented in the style and the culture of society for years to come. It's the big afros coming back, black power.
I don't know. Damon would probably be angry at
well, whatever. Like,
oh, they're stupid fucking hair.
Well, but you wouldn't be. You would.
I don't know their hair. I mean, their hair.
But he wouldn't be saying they don't have a right to grow their hair. He wouldn't be fighting about that, and that's what I'm talking about. All this fighting can end without you giving up your cause if you simply adjust your strategy.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I'm not done yet. Can I finish?
Oh my God! You know, I mean, can I read?
No,
can
you
I
were
read?
Longer than me. You were longer than me. So
No.
It would not be conceding defeat. It would be recognizing and saying that you have enough respect for your fellow Americans who disagree with your strategy. You know what? I don't like that you did that. That's over the line. All right. So recognize that. And it gives you the right to say, I respected you and the things that you hold valuable, and I stopped that. I realized that was across the line. I apologize. I'm going to do something different. But that gives you the right to then ask to respect why I feel the way I feel and hear me out. I think that's the problem. Nobody wants to even have the conversation that Kaepernick was doing it for in the first place, and it's no longer about that. Because the strategy, the tactic that he chose became the controversy versus the issue that he was trying to do.
Well, so
players need to recognize that and adjust. You're not serving the cause anymore.
Well, you know what?
Now it's an anti-Trump thing.
Well, but that's part of the problem. It's his fucking fault. We have 3.5 million Americans in Puerto Rico who don't have power, don't have water, don't have anything. And he calls...
They're Puerto Ricans.
They're technically Americans.
They're Puerto Ricans.
They're technically American.
But they're Puerto Ricans.
Okay, but they're still part of America.
But they're a territory, but they're Puerto Ricans.
Okay, whatever.
They've got themselves into this own mess. Puerto Rico is run like a third world country.
Okay. Move along. But the president is calling NFL players sons of bitches. I mean... Dude,
well, if you hit, well, look, I mean, I agree with you. The president shouldn't have, you know. Yeah.
Why did he bring it up?
This whole thing this weekend was towards him. Last week there were less than 10 players.
Of course it was. But his sentiments are felt by a lot of people. His sentiments are felt like a lot
my
of people.
Question,
yes,
why did he bring it up?
Keep
it was
NFL out of his mouth.
It was over. It was done. It was finished. Like there was,
right.
It was over. Yep. 12 people did it. Why bring
Correct.
It up?
Because he just runs his
put down your phone. I'm
putting down my microphone.
Yeah, he needs
a microphone.
Yeah, look. I mean, the last thing about all of this and even us, and I want to read our tweet or text is that this is football. You've heard me mention dozens of times on here. I haven't missed a game since 1989. Even when the Saints were bad, even in the Ditka years and the end of the Jim Moore years, because for 3 hours a week, I would go to the Superdome and just watch football, good football, bad football. And I didn't worry about, you know, relationship problems, the money problems, the work problems, or people problems. Well, I don't. Maybe that's you, but I never worry about dick problems. But you know, I just went there to watch the game, and for 3 hours, the rest of the world was shut out. Again, I didn't worry about anything, just football. And these
Aaron
protests
Brooks was
whatever,
a dick, so I worried about dick problems.
No. You know, so that's why people turn it off, because, my God, we have too much politics everywhere. And, you know, look, I've stopped watching, CNN and Fox. I've turned them off.
I don't want to disrespect you, Damon, but now I get at it here. Sports is
right,
away from politics,
Jeff
but for some people,
to move
politics
on the board,
belongs
to
in sports. No, I mean, he's
okay, no, no, no. So what I want to share with our listeners is after hearing all of this, okay, a text Jeff sends. Jeff says, so I don't know if we should or shouldn't discuss the kneeling thing. It's obviously major news story, national conversation involving sports. But I hate to even get close to political debate. Mm-hmm. Jason, hard to ignore, but I'm up for whatever. Damon, acknowledge it and move on. Very, very short. Jason, agree with Damon. Then Jeff writes a page of text. Do it. That's a soliloquy. And Jason says, sounds like you don't want to move on. And then, folks, you have what you've just heard.
That's right.
So.
And then I texted it in our call box on Skype. I said, yep, Jeff definitely does not want to move on.
So this is Jeff's segment. So go ahead, Jeff.
Jeff Bull rants.
Even though we both, Jason and I both agree, should be very sure now, but go ahead. Let's keep talking. Yeah. Let's have the conversation that we're all supposed to be having.
You ready to move on?
You made your point.
You ready to move on?
You made your point.
You ready to move on?
You know what I'm ready for? Don't patrol checkpoint.
Do you realize how fast you were going, sir?
Yes, I do. And there is an explanation for that. First of all, let me start off by saying...
All right. I'm probably a 2 or 3.
Hmm.
I'm drinking my fourth... Oh, I kept the beer. Hold on.
Right. So what is it?
It's Nola Brewery.
Says the guy who lives in the Alexandria area.
It's Nola 7th Street Wheat. It's the lemon basil.
He said it was a commotion.
It was next to the commotion.
It was on the same aisle.
Oh my god.
Oh, it's Cheetos. What? It was on the same aisle as the Cheetos. They were next to it. I couldn't tell the difference.
Oh, Zaps. He was way off.
All right, what are you, Jason?
I'm going to maybe sneak in a 5.
Hey!
Whoa, my goodness. Right. What have you been mainlining it? Goodness gracious.
He's drinking tomorrow. Look, that's what he's drinking.
You drink
a little gentleman, yeah.
There it is.
2 to 5.
Well, but that 2 was
that
an
sounds
hour
like
ago.
That sounds like Darren Sharper's sentence.
Hey, Damon just got it.
Yeah, you know the
well. He said that. Well, you said Darren Sharper. I'm thinking Darren Sproles. I'm thinking what?
No, you got the mix up too, right?
Right.
The best part is if y'all saw me, I actually adjusted my microphone a little bit when I said it, as though I was like adjusting my tie, like Rodney Dangerfield. I'm like, oh, that's Darren Sharper's sentence.
Very proud of that joke.
I am.
All right. Damon, you had anything?
No, I'm not drinking. I have
you
some
ran
Dixie
out of Dixie beer.
Okay. No, I have some. I just,
that's okay. He doesn't have to drink every week. Look, we should be thankful that we got 2 straight weeks or 3 or 4 straight weeks of Damon drinking.
Yeah, Speaking of, I cannot find Dixie beer in Alexandria. So I'm asking if anybody who listens to the show works for Dixie beer. So somebody make some sales over to Hocus Pocus Liquors or Kroger or Albertsons or wherever.
All those northern or northwestern Dallas chains.
Northwestern.
Uh-huh. Oh, you see what I did there?
I did. Let's get into pick'ems.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game you never, ever win.
Ooh, I don't know. I think I might want to avoid it.
Oh, yeah. Jason has to avoid it this week after
that.
Is
that why Jason
after.
Wants to keep talking about the national anthem?
Yeah. So I lost the week of pick-ups. The only win I had was Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I lost every other game.
And how Damon?
Damon went 3-2. So I went 1-4. Damon went 3-2. And Jeff won the week at 4-1.
Yeah, he did.
And the game he lost was Tampa.
Fucking.
So... So for the three of us, after 3 weeks, Damon is at 9-5. Did I say Jeff or Damon?
You said Damon, but Jeff is 9-5.
Right, Jeff is 9. Sorry, I am a 5. All right.
I have
Jeff, all right, so after 3 weeks... Jesus Christ, okay. Sit down. Let me kind of concentrate on what I'm trying to get across to you right now.
Why don't you take a knee and think about it?
I might want to sit down, because I am sitting down, so that's not working. So after 3 weeks, Jeff, or the three of us, Jeff is at 9-5, and Damon and myself are at 6-8.
Okay, so in the larger league, Jim Bull Rance, who has elected to go with an all-home team strategy for the whole season.
Oh, he's pulling a Jeff strategy.
No,
did he tell
Courtney.
You that?
No, that was Courtney. I go with net point differential. Remember, Courtney was the one who did the home team deal. Jimbo Rance leads the league with an 11-3 record.
Wow.
All home teams. Wheels comes in second place at 10-4. I am tied with Hungry Hoodat at 9-5 for third place. Then you got Scott Waters and Triple D, 8-6. And then you got Hoodat Fitz, CJG, Brandon Guidry, Emmanuel, Life of Ty, and Neil at 7-7. Then you got, for some reason, 5-5.
No. Wait, 5-5. That's not right.
Unless they
didn't. Yeah, it's 5%.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Oh, that's right.
5%.
They missed a week.
All right, Vincent Burke. Then you got Ed Hunt 4-5, Hoodat Nutsack 4-5, Random Thoughts 4-5. So they're kind of in that limbo area. Right. So, but
did Doug stop playing?
No, he just sucks.
So then you have
Jason, Damon, Preston Allen, Dr. Hoodat, Ryan Guidry, Miso Matt, and Chris McGuire, and Saints Fan UK all at 6-8. Then you got Jambalaya Brothers at 4-6. There's Doug at 5-9. Hold on.
Oh, there's Doug.
Messed up.
Oh.
No. It's
5%. So, yeah, Doug with a 5-9 record. Yeah, he's down there at the bottom.
Yeah, Doug sucks. You called it right the first
with
time.
With Gerald Booty, Ryan Angier, Scott Greenbaum, Davis Douglas, Neer, Ben Wright, Vetti with 4-10, EJ Pasternot, 3-11.
3-11. Wow. Woohoo!
And Newport Dragon started playing this week with a 3-2 record, but you don't get on the board yet because you've only played 5 games.
I'm just happy to beat my high school classmate Greenbaum. That's my goal this year.
And my neighbor.
So bring it on, motherfucker.
All right. Wow. I'll tell you what, this is going to be a 30-minute ordeal just to get through the damn pick'ems
and
rankings
will be.
Every week.
All right. First game, the L.A. Rams, 2-1, leading the NFC West. At the Dallas Cowboys, who are playing tonight. The game has not started yet, so currently they're 1-1. I would say they're favored to win tonight against Arizona, and that's probably factored into this pick'em number, which this is crazy. It's at Dallas. The Cowboys are favored by 8.
They're giving the Rams 8 points?
Wow.
They are. Now, ooh, some people still think the Rams suck.
That's 8 points.
I don't think a lot.
Rams suck.
How can you not? Look, I'm going to take the Rams. I mean, I'm going to take 8 points.
Well, it worked for me last time.
Yeah. Jason, who are you taking?
I'm taking the Rams.
And I'm taking the Rams.
Wow. This has to be the first time in the history of the show that we've all taken the Rams.
Yep.
Well,
I mean,
look,
you think about it.
But look,
a young
hot
points,
coach,
and
it looks like they, you know, that coach is maybe getting something out of the offense. Ty Gurley having a rebound year. Got me a lot of fantasy points this past week.
But again, it's 8 points. And the Rams are not the goddamn Jets.
And Dallas isn't some fucking juggernaut.
Right.
All right. Next game, NFC North battle. Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings. Detroit coming off a crushing loss to Atlanta, the fucking Falcons. Minnesota going with Case Keenum again. They were robbed. Minnesota beating Tampa really easily at home with Case Keenum. Stephon Diggs is a monster. Dalvin Cook is a good young rookie. This game is a pick 'em.
Woo!
Both these teams.
I'll go first on this one, and I'll take the Minnesota Vikings. Sadly, they are legit. They beat us.
Great team. They beat us and Tampa, yeah. Oh, God. Well, I'm going to go with the old.
Do it. Do it. You're riding the Lions all year, Jason.
Yep, I am. I am. I'm riding the Lions. Until they play the Saints, I'm riding the Lions. So
there you go. Ride the snake.
I'm gonna take the Vikings just because they are home.
I will continue my descent into the abyss of pick'ems. All right, our next game, the Oakland Raiders, coming off a shocking loss to the Skins last night. Just destroyed on every level. Only had 100-something total yards of offense. Just did not see that coming. At the Denver Broncos, also coming off a loss in Buffalo.
Buffalo?
Right. So,
what?
And Michael Crabtree got injured last night. Don't know what his status is. According to this week, but this game is in Denver. And the Broncos are favored by 2.5. I'll go first. Give me the Raiders.
Really?
Well, traveling to the East Coast is usually kind of a struggle for West Coast teams, and now that they're in their division, they have to travel very far. Plus, they're looking to rebound. I mean, I still think.
I'm sorry. Wait.
Denver's favored by 2.5.
The Raiders have been
are getting to
division. 2.5. What are you talking about? Like suddenly being in the division and suddenly. And how
you mean it's going to be a division game?
It's a division game.
Oh, okay.
It sounded like you were saying like suddenly. I don't know.
So, right. I mean,
you taking Oakland, yeah. Jason?
Yes, I'm taking Oakland.
I'm going to take the Raiders also.
All right, I'm going to take Denver on this one, and it's probably going to be my demise this week.
I mean, I don't know. Look, you are 9-5. I mean, shit.
Yeah, but this is not a confident pick. I mean, these teams are they're the same teams. I'm taking Denver because they're home. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Our next game, another division game, an AFC South game. The Tennessee Titans coming off a big win at home against Seattle at the Houston Texans, coming off a loss to the Patriots, but they played very well up there. Rookie quarterback, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, looked good.
You know, getting stuff done, making plays. This game is in Houston, and the Texans are getting 1.5 at home.
What? Oh, I'm taking the home. I'm taking the Texans.
Yeah, I'm taking the Texans as well. I think what happens is after New England beats teams, they play better the next week.
Okay.
And Tennessee, while good, we talked about this earlier in the show, and even last week, Tennessee's good this year, but this is one of those that they drop.
All right, give me the Titans, because I'm a believer in the Titans.
There you are.
And now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go! Piece of shit card. I got a piece of shit card.
Is in one state. It's a pretty shitty state.
Is it the Jets and the Buffalo Bills?
No, it's not New York. It's not New York. Now, I have been to this state before, and I did have a good time.
Is it the Chargers?
No, no. He's in Ohio.
I'm in
Cincinnati,
Ohio.
Cleveland and Cincinnati.
The Cincinnati Bengals, 0-3, at the Cleveland Browns, 0-3.
Woo-hoo! You don't get much crazy shittier than this.
I mean, look, Cincinnati got off to a big lead against the Packers.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers throwing that pick six, and I'm thinking, okay, well, Cincinnati's finally going to get their win. Nope.
Did you know that was only his second pick six of his career?
I thought it was the first. I thought he was a guy who had never thrown pick six.
No, I mean, you know, listening to the commentators, they said his second. And they named who the first one was.
Okay, and Cleveland actually, you know, they played well. I mean, they lost to the Colts and Jacoby Brissett, but it was only maybe a 3-point game, 4-point game.
Yeah. So what's the spread? It's going to be the big.
Cleveland is at home and they're getting 3 points. I mean, Cincinnati probably is the better team.
I do believe it's your turn to go first.
Goddamn. I should not take Cleveland again. I should not take it. I mean, Cincinnati sucks, but they're better than Cleveland. So I'm going to go with the Bengals.
Yeah, it's kind of that simple. I will go with the Bengals also, just because they're playing Cleveland.
All right. How many points are you giving?
How many points are you giving?
This is truly a shitty game of the week.
I don't even live in Ohio.
How many points are you giving Cleveland?
Although, like I said, I went to Ohio once. We had a good time. Jed LaBorde got 5 of us on the Ohio State legit golf course, and people didn't know how we did it. I'm like, I don't know. Chad works magic. That's what we do. For a second, we got drunk, and we thought it was a good idea to bust in the Ohio State Stadium and take a shit in the 50-yard line. Thankfully, that didn't happen.
Oh, I thought that did happen. Was it
Adam
that was going to do it?
We talked about it, but luckily... somehow common sense prevailed.
Who was going to do it? Adam or Biven?
I don't know. One of us. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
But we did drink a bar. A bar had unlimited Red Bull and vodkas for, I don't know, like $15.
Yeah.
And we drank them out of Red
Bull. All right.
So anyway,
who's getting the points and how many of them?
Cleveland's at home against Cincinnati, and they're getting 3 points at home.
And that's funny how Indianapolis was getting points against Cleveland last week.
Yeah, we should have known with Jacoby Brissett playing, they're a lot better than fucking Scott Tolzien.
So, Cleveland getting three.
Getting three at home against the Bengals.
At home against the
Bengals. Both teams 0-3.
Man. I'm gonna take the Bengals. Shit.
I know, right?
I'm not confident. There's no confidence in any of these picks. But I'm taking the Bengals. They have AJ Green.
Okay, there you go. Well, we all took the Bengals. So.
Oh, all right then.
All right.
You were waiting on me.
Yeah, well, you did say you had to go pee, and we got it done.
All right, good for you. And let's move into Saints Preview. And this can be a quick one, given the amount of time we've spent talking about everything else today. Saints are playing the Dolphins in London. Dolphins come in this game 1-1, having lost this week, with a minus 12 net point differential. In case y'all care about that, Saints on a one-game winning streak, 1-2 with a minus 5 net point differential.
We also have two games. I mean, we had an extra game to get our extra negative point differential right there.
Yeah,
Dolphins have only played two games. The good news is there's going to be a lot of Saints fans out there. There's already a lot of Saints fans in the UK. A lot of our listeners. Mm-hmm. Fellow podcasters.
Sorry we didn't deliver on the promise that we would be there, guys. Remember,
I tried. One.
But, yeah. Turns out too much. But, Jason, you did guest on the UK Saints podcast yesterday.
I did. We recorded a post-game show yesterday and unfortunately got the message today that they had some recording issues that we have, similar to what we've had in the past.
I hear that.
So it doesn't sound like it's going to go out, but I'll be back on at some point this season, no doubt. It was fun to talk to those guys, and they're all going to the game. I was the main guy, I guess the guy who runs the podcast.
The Jeff had, of the podcast?
Yeah, he had gone, because you know, when you buy tickets to the London games, it's like a season ticket package. So he had gone to the Jaguars game and got hammered. And then we were back in the show, and I was like, yeah, he was still a little drunk when we were recording the show. But it was fun. I definitely
what
encourage
does a,
you guys.
What does a slurred British accent sound like?
Austin Powers? But not really. I mean, I don't know. Probably not, but I was able to understand them all. There was one guy who was Welsh.
How many of
them?
Yeah.
It was three of them.
Okay.
It was three of them. One of the guys was Welsh. He was a little harder to understand, but I think I managed to get everything. So,
oh, that's fun.
It was a fun show, and they said they'll have me back on later this year, so I'll gladly hop back on. It was a fun time.
Well, what's the name of the podcast? So we might
the Saints UK podcast.
Or UK Saints podcast, right?
Or UK Saints, UK Saints.
Well,
podcast.
Well, what is it?
UK Saints podcast.
Okay.
Back out.
I like that.
So so they will have me back on this year.
Is the Mafia UK one of them? Or?
I think it's maybe like an account that's kind of associated with him.
Yeah, yeah.
But he wasn't, yeah, a guy Ryan, a guy Ash.
Yeah, Ash Pimple, he tweets us.
Yeah, and then Ben, the guy Ben,
he was the one with us. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He was the initial. He made the initial call. He was you, except he knew a lot more about football.
Well, it doesn't take much.
You're right. But it was fun. I'll be back on later this year, hopefully. But it was fun. But it's cool that, you know, I was talking with him, like, you know, because they do with these London games. There's all kinds of shit going on, and so the Saints were at the Arsenal game today.
Yeah.
But it's fun that, you know, Saints fans across the pond get to see the team in person.
Not in a pond, it's an ocean.
It's what you say, though.
Whatever, man. Come on.
I know. That's what we're trying to be cute. It's an ocean.
Oh, God.
Jesus. Just let me have fun with it, all right?
Can't just have fun.
No, he can't.
No. We're going to be stupid.
Gotta poke something. Right.
You.
Right.
Stop all your oh, what is that, the South Park one? The early one, don't you remember?
Nope.
Remember the early South Park where they were in...
I've seen every South Park episode.
in shop class? Stop your horsing around.
Says the old guy on the show. So anyway, there'll be a good amount of Saints fans traveling over, but also a lot of Saints fans already there that are going to go to the game. So that'll be fun to get to see. And we get to play Smoke and Jay Cutler. I mean, that's, you know.
Our second bad quarterback in 2 weeks. So that is my main. That's the main story for me. And we get some people back. We definitely get a lot more,
you would think.
We get Lattimore back. We're gonna definitely get Willie Snead back.
Oh, they're right. That's huge.
Is that the key to the game? I mean, that's where the offense scores 40 points.
No, the key to the game is that Cutler sucks.
Well, the key to the game is stopping Jay Ajayi. Because when I was on the show with the guys, Jay Ajayi is from England.
Did you just learn?
No. It's Jay Ajayi.
Ajayi.
That's his name.
I'm making a joke.
Apparently he's from England, so he might have a strong contingent cheering for him because he is from England and he made it to the NFL. But that's the game. I mean, like, the Jets held him for like under 20 yards rushing.
Do you know anything about their offensive line?
Nope.
Thank you.
I just know they have a good running back, they have good receivers, and they got Smokin' Jay.
Smokin' Jay.
That's him. He's Smokin' Jay.
All right.
Well, again, the main thing, we said it, Jay Cutler is their quarterback. He's mediocre at best. I think we see very similar results that we saw this week to get us back to even.
He should definitely throw a couple of picks. I mean, think about it. He was in the broadcasting booth until Tannehill got hurt.
Right, right.
He was going to be a broadcaster this year. He had retired.
Right. So that's why I'm picking a score of 38-17.
Saints, huh?
Yes.
I think that's actually a really good score there. I mean, I think it's high 30s. I think I'm going to go with 38-7.
The same thing.
Can we do that?
Sure. You can do whatever you want. It's our show.
I agree with you, Damon. That's your First Amendment right to be able to do that.
That's right.
All right. That's your right.
All right.
I mean, I don't know the better option. I mean, that's yeah.
Okay. I'll go a little more conservative, but I'll go Saints 31, Dolphins 13. It's a big turnaround because all along I thought we would lose this game, but after seeing them get destroyed by the Jets and realizing, yeah, that's right, it's Jay fucking Cutler. Why am I picking Jay Cutler to beat the Saints?
Unless it all takes them to their third game for everything to click like it did for us.
Ooh. Well, the good news is I did pick the Saints to beat the Panthers last week, so I'm going to keep riding it. I'm going to pick them to beat the Dolphins this week, and we go 2-2 into the bye.
Yes, only Jeff picked against the Saints last week.
You're right.
Jeff was very, very despondent.
I was. And rightfully so. You agreed with me and supported me in that.
Yeah, but I picked the Saints 31-28.
It will be fun to see, you know, a lot of the Saints fans over in the UK, whoever's got the game tickets, you know, meet up with. And that's they're going to get to meet up with fans that are coming over from New Orleans.
Well, we got right. There was one of our listeners there and Twitter followers tweeted over that he's going to be at the game, and I retweeted it, called out a couple of our UK listeners, and hopefully you guys can meet up and create some sort of a
definitely help him out. Like any Saints fan who's coming over from New Orleans, meet up, help him out, do whatever you can, because it's going to be a fun week.
Faux show. And what time is the game going to be on in Louisiana?
I think it's 8:30 in the morning.
8:30 in the morning.
That's awesome, man. Like, wake up and you get your Bloody Mary and then you're good to go. I love that.
Nothing better than drinking a Bloody Mary while watching the Saints.
The fact that you can wake up and like, holy shit, the game's almost on.
It's those days where, you know, like last week, I was like, I woke up at like 8 o'clock and I'm sitting here like, I can't wait for the game. You don't have to wait.
No. It's here.
Sweet.
I almost wish every... You know, not the home games, but all the road games.
Well, Jason,
if you want your games to be earlier, you need to move to California.
Exactly.
They come on at 10 in the morning over there.
Hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I had a buddy who lived in L.A., and he said it was so nice because you could sit there and watch your first game, and you're done at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
You still have a whole day, you know. You have a whole day, you know, you didn't waste your entire Sunday.
Yeah, but the thing is, it does show something about culture, how, to me, grilling and drinking beers and whatnot in football. If I lived in California, I don't know that grilling would be your actual game, your home team plays at 1.
Well, Jeff, here's what you do. You get up an hour later. Grill sausage patties and make breakfast.
Right. Football, I don't see football as being a breakfast sport.
It can be.
That's soccer.
Hey, soccer football can be breakfast. Whatever you want to, Jeff.
That's right. You have the First choice. Amendment that's what makes America great.
Be whatever you want to be. Do whatever you want to do.
All right. We be how we want to be. Play how we want to play.
Adam's family.
All right. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
There you come.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, windless donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation. They do what they want to do, say what they want to say, live how they want to live, play how they want to play, dance how they want to dance, kick and they stop a friend. I'm telling you, I saw the hand. Say what they wanna say, live how they wanna live, play how they wanna play, dance how they wanna dance, kick and they stop a friend. Adams. Yeah, thank you, Fester. I need to go back to the bridge just then. Thank you, thank you. Now check this out. They do what they wanna do, say what they wanna say, live how they wanna live, play how they wanna play, dance how they wanna dance, kick and they stop a friend. They do what they wanna do, say what they wanna say, live how they wanna live, play how they wanna play, dance how they wanna dance, kick and they stop a friend.